A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. Join my little Dolly Boy, my from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Collision, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hanford to look ahead to AEW Dynamite tonight. Get well soon to Michael Sidgwick. And a lot of fallout from last week's events involving the Elite and their attack on Kenny Omega.
Yeah, it's the headline thing, really, on this Dynamite card as of recording. Obviously, it's, you know, typical that another like match or a segment or that, you know, when they make the big collage of graphics of things going on Dynamite, they'll typically add that one more thing. But certainly for me, anyway, my interest levels at the moment in this product, I don't live and die with the Elite power struggle, but it's they have absolutely landed on the hottest thing they've had in a while. With the like last week, I was saying I think they are being proven correct creatively for airing the Jack Perry CM Punk footage, which is a big turnaround for maybe how most people felt a month ago, for how it has completely rejuvenated Jack Perry's career. The Elite, or that this new Elite, feels like we are watching a plan that has been very well plotted take place. And regardless of if people love or hate this version of the Young Bucks or what we had last week with Kenny Omega, all that sort of stuff, it does feel like you are watching their fairly meticulous plotting play out. You know, the Tony Khan driver, the EVP trigger, all of that was ultimately to lead to back-to-back attacks on Tony Khan and Kenny Omega. And now Kenny Omega's got his big announcement 1 week after making people feel like, oh, he might never wrestle again before tearing his shirt away to reveal those abs. Oh. And you're thinking, it's coming, Kenny Omega's coming back. Yeah, the headline stuff is good. The undercard realistically speaks to what I would still consider a bit of a passive investment, I think a lot of people have in AEW's undercard.
Yeah, I was going to say, hottest angle they should do, someone should tell the viewers. Because what's going on there? Like, I was fascinated to see what number they were going to do last week. Because I thought, that's, like you say, the biggest thing they can do.
Yeah.
What the hell's this going to look like? You know, how are people going to receive it and what have you? And Kenny Omega's returning and what have you. They've done it again with like a big announcement thing for tonight's show. I don't know. What do you think has caused this? I know obviously a couple of weeks back there was, I don't know, something to do with sports games and timing differences and what have you. And that accounted, I think Meltzer said, for an 8% drop in the viewership. But I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do with all that last week. And then they did like a 0.24 and 700 odd thousand people. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting better than that.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like, I want to sort of preface anything I say here with anyone can go back and listen to any of our old podcasts where we might have predicted ratings ever. And our records are pathetic. It's all, we're as speculative and we kind of just enjoy this as a bit of a game as much as anybody else. And I wouldn't have, with competition, I wouldn't have assumed the numbers would be massive or whatever. And I think, the disclaimer of saying, ultimately, if and when AEW get renewed with a monster new deal, that will justify all of these numbers as being either satisfactory to very good. You know, if you imagine Tony Khan sitting down for his office-like appraisal, and maybe if they'd have renewed in 2021, they would have been doing backflips. Mm. Now they are simply doing front flips. They are still underpaid. Dynamite as a property is still underpaid.
It's always like top three, isn't it?
Yeah, for what it has brought ultimately in that slot. You tend to believe that everything you've ever read and everything that's ever been reported by people far more knowledgeable than us, that AEW is going to be just fine in terms of like its safety on TBS and TNT or with, you know, with Warner Brothers Discovery. Yeah. I know there's always discussions of streaming services and things like that, and maybe that'll be folded in when the deal is done. So it's not so much about the numbers or the low numbers or whatever, it's about what those numbers reflect. And I just think what I've been saying all year, ultimately I still think it, there are going to be like peaks and troughs with the Dynamite ratings. There are going to be high quarter hours, there are going to be low quarter hours. You've got to make a choice philosophically about what your product looks and feels like, and then go with it. Don't be reactionary when you can avoid it. If I'm not a Tony Khan, so I don't know when networks are leaning on him for, well, we want this rating this week. Remember, like, this is perhaps a terrible example, but remember when that era when, like, ugly as it is to even discuss now, Vince McMahon was a draw.
Yes.
So he would just simply promote himself. The Mr. McMahon character had this sort of strange value in the ratings to the point when, like, it had a quantifiable difference on the ratings compared to, like, a Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
And so out he would come, and there'd be some announcement that I'd have to make up that week or whatever. Like, I never really want AEW to follow that. I never want them to sort of, like, obviously they're going to look at quarter hours and they're going to think, well, if this wrestler is performing consistently in the quarter hours, it suggests the audience wants more of them. So give them more. The Acclaimed, I think, were a good example of that once upon a time.
Cassidy.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't do that. But what I am saying is, if you've got this big angle and this elite thing, to go back to what I was just saying before, is this long-term plotted idea that traces all the way back to the signing of Kazuchika Okada, the rebadging of the Young Bucks, all of it. Just follow that principle.
Yes.
If your core idea of 2024 is where the best wrestle, sell that concept to your base. Ensure the satisfaction of your base that can believe in this where the best wrestle mantra, that can believe in the elite story playing out in such a way that they can trust that you can tell long-term stories again. Mm. Because if we're getting to the end of the summer months and it's Omega, Okada are all in. Well, sorry, more specifically, it's a six-man tag featuring Omega, Okada at Wembley, followed by Omega, Okada at All Out in Chicago 7 days later. But if your big summer programs are the culmination of this huge elite power struggle that started with a surprise union of the Young Bucks and Okada in February, then you've proven that you can tell massive, sweeping, long-term stories again, featuring some of your biggest acts.
Yeah.
And the fans are presumably going to reward you in kind with investment in other stories you're going to tell. It might mean, in the short term, your numbers dip, or people don't feel particularly invested, or people don't feel inclined to attend in great number. You know, the Double or Nothing's back at the MGM this year, and I don't know the exact figures, but I would imagine at the moment they're probably trending towards about half of what they were last year, because they were in the in Sidge were there in the T-Mobile, and I think they probably hit about 10,000 last year. The MGM, I don't think we'll touch that this year. So you're going to see this year-on-year drop for Double or Nothing numbers. But if in a year's time Swerve Strickland is a made man, then making him champion and giving him big matches against like the likes of Christian Cage that are there to enhance him as a babyface and enhance him as a working man's champion. It might not be the way I would choose to push him, but you'll have been proven right for just staying the course. I'm not saying don't worry about numbers. You have to. And when we talk about WWE's business success, like listen to the Backlash review. We're not doing backflips at WWE getting their record gate from an 11,000 capacity crowd or something. But what those numbers reflect are a hugely plugged in and engaged audience.
Yeah.
So right now, full buildings are equating to loud crowds, and loud crowds are equating to over-wrestlers, and over-wrestlers are equating to big business. So you can draw the lines between what these figures are. No penny from WWE is landing in our pocket, despite our best efforts. Like, Tony Khan's checks have never arrived in the post, despite people telling us that we've been receiving them for years, right? We don't make this money, but it absolutely does impact the quality of the product sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know, I made the joke last week. I wasn't joking. I made the reference to Dynamite last week where I heard a buzzing sound that sounded like somebody's phone vibrating that I simply shouldn't have been able to hear in a building, right? Like, it's that was a flippant reference to what was probably just a little whirring somewhere. But the point remains, last week's Dynamite was infuriatingly quiet at points. Mm. And when a product's hot, you just don't get those moments. You don't get those feelings that take you out of the show you're watching and make you realise, it's just a bit cold.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the ratings matter and that's where the numbers matter. The two things aren't directly related, but they're indirectly related in such a way that over time, like AEW are now suffering the fact that they've not just gone cold. They've been cold for a while.
Yes.
I would consider this Kenny Omega like stuff pretty hot. I would classify last week's main event of Dynamite a hot angle.
Yes.
But AEW is simply not a hot product. Mm. So you just have to kind of keep trying to knock out these hot angles week after week until you get associated as being the hot angle promotion, and then people will come back, or stars will be made or whatever. It's the rising tide that like raises all the ships. It just sometimes takes ages for the tide to rise.
They're at Rogers Place in Edmonton.
Tell the listeners what you just did.
Thrust it in the air because I can't make a, you know.
For Rogering. Rogering is rude enough, isn't it?
Yeah. Just under 4,000 tickets distributed.
What's the building size?
The setup is for 4,248, which is down from the last time that they came there in. I never know if the dates are weird, the way they write them. Either May or July of last year, they did nearly 5,800.
So. Okay, so we're not talking like 4,000 in a 10,000.
No.
All right.
Or at least not what's been laid out here. What do you think Kenny Omega's important announcement is? Because last week he literally said, I've got a ticking time bomb in my stomach, but I'm going to try and fight through it and come back. And then they hit him with a chair in that stomach, hit him with the EVP trigger, and then tipped over his stretcher as well.
Doctors won't clear me. And the damage you've done means that doctors have said they'll never clear me. And when an AEW wrestler can't get cleared, like they cannot perform for the fans. But I'm not an AEW wrestler. I'm an AEW EVP.
Oh my God.
And you can't get fired. Doctors can't tell me what to do. I might not be cleared to wrestle, but I can clear myself to fight. And when we get to Las Vegas, there's going to be anarchy in the arena.
That's the name of the match.
Well, wouldn't you just believe it? He's only gone and got FTR to be his friends in what is traditionally a multi-man match. Let me just double check there. Matthew, Nicholas, Jack, Kazuchika. There's four of them.
Yeah.
There's three of them. We need one more guy. I think you know him, and in about 3 weeks it'll be Hangman Page or whatever. but right now, anarchy in the arena gets, like, the challenge gets laid down, basically. Kenny Omega will make his return at Double or Nothing in an Anarchy in the Arena match alongside FTR plus one against the Elite.
Because how many? We've only got two more Dynamites after this.
Oh, there you go. Perfect, man.
26th of May.
Get Hanger in on the go home. Do the next week thing where Kenny Omega travels to Texas like Eric Bischoff did trying to recruit Steve Austin, where Kenny Omega does like a load of fish out of water spots where he's in a load of bars and he goes to like a rodeo or other sort of, and he wears like sort of like Hangman Page's like best cow print chaps and he's like trying to fit in. He's like doing some farm work like Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley. And, but Kenny's quest for Hangman. I want it over seven skits. Like if Sidge was here, he'd agree.
Yeah.
Seven skits throughout the show leading to a payoff where Kenny Omega thinks he's going to drink milk. And then he spits it out because it's a white Russian. And he's spitting someone's face and the camera pans. It's Hangman Page's face. And the white Russian dripping down his face. He's like, I knew it was you, Kenny. Let's go to Vegas. Let's saddle up together. And they ride horses out of Texas. Not Texas. Where's Hangman? Virginia. They ride horses out of Virginia. because, well, one, Virginia is for lovers, a.k.a. the Golden Lovers, because somewhere Ibushi's involved in this. And they ride horses out of Virginia on the go-home Dynamite. And they're heading to Vegas, and the horses ride to Vegas as a shoot.
That was the riding from
Virginia, and Omega does a Twitch stream where they're on the horses together.
Virginia to Las Vegas.
How long?
You almost couldn't have picked two places that are further apart.
Yeah.
It is, I assume this is driving or flying? No, it's got to be driving.
No, I got it by horse.
Driving, mm-hmm. It's a mere 34 hours.
Well, that's nothing for Americans, huh? That's a family holiday.
2,310 miles.
Right, what's that on foot?
On foot. What? Good news is...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I was going to say good news is it's less. It's not, it's more. 862 hours.
Right, yeah, but hang on. That's on foot.
Like, yeah, it's not. A bike.
Horse have got 4 feet. Bike. A bike's like a horse in a way.
Via Katie Trail. I don't know who she is.
Right.
But 228 hours. So you got.
Piece of piss.
Yeah.
228 hours. So yeah.
So you got. Yeah, you got loads of time before
that. What is that? Do on Google, do quickly. 228 divided by 24. How many days is that?
Just under. Obviously. 228 and just under 10 days.
So
it's 9.5 days.
So how, that's what
sorry. I generally thought you couldn't work this out. It's a half and
9 days.
Oh, I completely missed that. Sorry.
That's all right.
So, that's a knobbly bobbly messing with my brain. So, I've had a knobbly bobbly this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to the guys at Good Brews.
Yeah, Good Brews giving away. I didn't go to Good Brews with you today, and I'm annoyed.
Fool.
Apparently, missed free knobbly bobbly day.
Yeah,
what's that about? I don't want to cause a rift so early into the podcast.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a knobbly bobbly guy.
What?
I know, but did they have other free?
I think they had a. He said he had a knobbly. He's had the knobbly bobblies, mm-hmm. And do Americans know knobbly bobbly?
Knobbly bobbly. I'll explain knobbly bobbly if you like.
Okay.
Knobbly bobbly is a ice lolly, a popsicle. As our friends in America would say,
mm-hmm.
That involves... What is the underbelly of the knobbly bobbly? Is it strawberry?
It's strawberry and chocolate ice cream. So you go through the outer layer, then strawberry, then chocolate.
Strawberry and chocolate popsicle covered in... Like, we call them hundreds and thousands.
Mm.
Some people call them hundreds and millions.
What?
What?
Monsters.
What hundreds of thousands in America? Hundreds and thousands? What...
This is the sprinkles.
Of course they are. Sprinkles. So covered in sprinkles. And only today we learn that there are four mascots of Knobbly Bobbly. There's Knob. There's Bob.
There's Lee.
There's Lee. And then there's other Lee. You can have like you got two Michaels in a workplace.
Yeah.
You've had a few Adams in your time. Like there's, at the Knobbly Bobbly offices, there's two Lees.
Mm.
Look at the branding. Knob, Bob, Lee, and Lee. Wilborn had one before 10 a.m. So the dynamite train already feels off the track. We're recording this morning. We did NXT in the afternoon. And what do we say? So it's going to take Kenny Omega and Hangman Page just more than
9 days
to ride their horses from Virginia to Vegas after seven skits where Omega's hunting for him and spits a white Russian in his face.
Don't put a knobbly bobbly in your bag. It'll melt.
Oh, yeah. That's
all over your hand as well.
Yeah, everywhere. And the bits will get everywhere.
One star rating for Knobbly Bobblies on Tesco.
Based on what?
An economy type ice cream covered in hundreds and thousands. If you like gritty ice cream, I'll tell you what, Adam Copeland's going to love this, isn't he? Then perhaps it's okay. But for me, it was most unpleasant. Right. Unpleasant!
You classist. What did he say? What was the start of that review?
An economy type ice cream.
I do apologise, Your Majesty.
Oh, fancy Dan.
What's his ego looking for? Friggin', what's it called? What's like that fancy ice cream called? It's ice cream, but like...
sorbet.
Not even sorbet, not even frozen yogurt. Oh, man, it'll come to me. But it's just like, just give me an ice cream, mate. But they've rebadged it, you fool. Like, it'll come to me in a second. Sid should know straight away. You can probably cook it. Like,
gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah.
Ice cream. It's my yes. I'm sort of, pistachio ice cream is probably my most middle class food take, actually.
Ooh.
I'm a pistachio guy.
I'm a raspberry ripple.
I know. Yeah, but what ice cream do you like?
What was I going to say? It's about ice cream.
Gelato, pistachio, Raspberry Ripple's my favourite flavour.
Oh, can't remember.
Nob, Bob, Lee and Lee. Oh, speaking of Dynamite, which we were.
Oh, we were, yeah, time, yeah. God, I've got to talk about learning train a bit.
In the spirit of AEW Dynamite, we have a huge announcement later on, don't we?
We do,
stay
actually.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll come later on in the broadcast.
But, I'm excited for Kenny Omega's announcement. Sponsored by Knobbly Bobbly.
Brian. By the way, shout out, speaking of the huge announcement, yes. Thank you for your latest Photoshop, Brian. I won't spoil it if people haven't seen it. I think I retweeted it on X. Back to Dynamite. Good Lord, back to Dynamite. Are you in agreement? Are we thinking Anarchy in the Arena gets announced?
I like that, yeah. I'm just typing if AEW wrestlers were ice creams to see if someone's done that.
Done that Twitter thread.
Yeah. MJF. Different flavours of ice cream, of course. Forgot about that.
I was thinking of the Burberry, like, and all I could think of was a cider lolly. You know, like how it's that sort of, like, brown colour. Love cider lollies.
Oh, yeah. You get a bit pissed on a shandy one.
A bit pissed on a lager and lime lolly.
Did they design an ice lolly specifically people with foot fetishes as well, or was that...
Oh, we talked about funny feet.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. It's weird, isn't it? It's like...
I'm going to read this if any review.
Because I get the foot air freshener.
Yeah.
Because it stinks, but it smells nice. Yeah. But the ice cream one, it's like they know what they're doing there, don't they?
And Iceland's got some reviews. Let's see what people have been saying about funny feet.
I need to ask you to Google something else after you've read this as well.
They're smaller than in the 80s, but so many things are nowadays, says Mike.
Do you know what somebody... It's true.
Sorry.
Go on.
11 out of 10. So happy they have these in stock. The only iced creams I eat abroad. Thank you, Iced Land.
That's quite a good part of that. Iced. He says it and nobody will correct him. You know this whole chocolate used to be bigger in the 80s or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
People, it hit me that I think that take is very much of a certain generation. Hours, right? Because we have seen food get like smaller,
unquestionably.
But is it a little bit? Somebody said this on a podcast, and it blew my mind. Is it just as stupid as this sounds? No, we were smaller.
No, I do think they've shrunk. Like
I know there's like less. Snickers is a good example on Mars, right? Two chocolate bars,
club biscuits,
clubs, penguins. You know, all of them. If you looked at it, their tub of quality street, it has got smaller.
Yeah,
but if. When you're a kid and you hold one in your hand.
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa, it's huge. And then when you get older, it's not so huge no more. Like, is that not what's going on here? Like, it's just that we're adults now.
Maybe.
Yeah. I need you to Google something. You know how much I love neon food? Mm-hmm. Like yesterday I was drinking that toxic waste fluid.
It was so sweet, even for me.
It was a bit sour for you, wasn't it? Can you Google green Calippo, please? Because I swear these
Yeah, definitely.
I love the green Calippo.
Yes, there it is, look.
Oh, yeah. Look at that, man. Look at that.
Calippos. Do you remember Solero shots?
Yeah.
They were so good, weren't they?
AEW law brings about around. Not the Dippin' Dots.
Yes. Yeah.
What else is on Dynamite?
We've got the world champion going face-to-face with Christian Cage, who he's obviously set to face at Double or Nothing.
What is this? Frigging last week's SmackDown or something? They just did it. Just went face to face.
But now Christian Cage has got a lock of his hair, of course.
Oh, yeah. The fans last week were, eat it! Eat it, Killswitch! So this week, Killswitch eats his hair.
Okay.
Yeah. No, right, they've done Nick Wayne law.
Mm-hmm.
They've done Wembley law. Between us, can we not work out some other law between Christian Cage and Swerve Strickland? Is there any... What are you... looking at you f***ing hack.
I was reading the Calippo review.
You're a dickhead, mate. Hamlet, Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage are going to build their AEW title match tonight. Talk about that for a couple of seconds because I got some pretty cool Calippo on my laptop right now.
Sorry, I do apologise, but trust me, it's worth it.
Right.
So, in the reviews for Calippos on Tesco's website again. Some lovely lovely reviews. I love these. They taste really nice. lovely, refreshing, best ice lollies ever. And this review's called Bribes Kids, right?
Okay.
Right, and they write, my three-year-old's a nightmare at the moment. I literally cannot get him to do anything unless I dangle one of these in front of him. His face is pretty much the same colour as the Calippo by the end, but I'd rather wipe her face clean than a boo off the floor. 5 stars. So it was worth it.
Yeah, I'll give you that, actually. What would...
Swerve.
Maybe to get Christian Cage back for last week, Swerve Strickland is reminded, right, of... I've got it.
Go on.
Reminded of, like, the real Swerve Strickland. When Christian Cage started talking about you dared break into the Wayne household and disrupt this great family, my family, Swerve had this reminder of, like, yeah, I need to get back to being that guy. And as a revenge attack for having some of his hair taken from him, he has some scissors and he cuts some of Nick Wayne's mom's hair. And then Nick Wayne cries in front of him and Swerve shoves a 99 in his face. around him, and it's got like hundreds and thousands on. So he's like going in his eyes and stuff. And then Nick Wayne like, and then he drops it like ice cream first on the floor and stamps on the cone. So like Nick Wayne was like, that was my ice cream. And like Christian's like, I'm not getting you another one.
I've had a really good idea for a match to build to the Christian match.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got one in a second as well.
So I've only got two more Dynamites after this.
Yeah.
Next week, before the, I don't know, they're going to contract signing or whatever.
Yeah.
Next week, a hair versus air match.
Uh-huh.
Swerve Strickland versus Nick Wayne.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne, the heir to his dad's throne.
Good.
Swerve Strickland puts his hair on the line.
Love it. Counter pitch.
Go on.
Next week, Christian, as a heel, like lands, he's got a fancy car. It's a fancy family car, so like a big Range Rover or something. Range Rover Sport, maybe. And the whole family get the patriarchy, get out the car and all that, and he's like, da, da, da. And Swerve's like, I got a vehicle too. Beep, beep. And he pulls up. What would you like to order from my I Scream van?
Oh.
And like instead of like pictures of 99s and Calippos, it's a different weapon. And Christian says, I'll have a steel chair, please. And Swerve like hits him with a steel chair from out his ice cream van. He just keeps reaching into a freezer and different weapons keep coming out. And
brilliant.
Like they just keep falling for it. Nick Wayne's like, I'll have a screwball, please. And he's like, screwdriver, is it? And he stabs him in the face with a screwdriver. It just keeps going. I'll have a raspberry ripple, please. And he says, oh, nipple cripple, is it? And then he's like, kill switch his nipples. There's a different weapon every time that he keeps thinking he's mishearing. And it's like, Swerve Strickland's ice cream van. And each time they hit the weapon, they go, ah! And he's like, I told you you'd scream. See you at double or nothing.
Perfect, no notes.
What's next?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture. Well, what's next? Is a date you need to put in your diary. Yeah. Because, as the old saying goes, Michael Hamflett, remember the 10th of May.
It sure does.
Because this Friday on the What Culture Wrestling main channel, 3 p.m., the full version of our live show from Philadelphia, It's Always Sunny at What Culture, is going to be released. We're also releasing the podcast segment on the podcast channel Thursday as well, so keep an eye out for
but
that
like
one.
Thursday is very much the 9th, so it doesn't work with, it doesn't work with the famous catchphrase that they're saying the world over. Remember the 10th of May.
And also
pass that on, by the way. Like, I know they ask you to pass things on those engagements accounts, but at least this is something that people can genuinely engage with. Like, oh, it's just like when I was a kid and I remember my mum used to say to me, right, what do you want from this ice cream van? And also remember the 10th of May.
Orange Cassidy versus Trent Barretta. What's going on? I thought they were saving this for the pay-per-view. I assume, and also with the Don Callis aspect to this as well, that this isn't going to be completely finished off here.
No, unless they wrap it and they have a brand new opponent for Cassidy. One might call it an orange refresher. But no, they're not. I think this is genuinely one of the more interesting developments from last week's Dynamite. The Orange Cassidy, Don Callis thing was unexpected.
I was so confused by it.
The Don Callis family has been badly undermined by bad booking.
Yes.
And a few injuries and whatnot, but ultimately bad booking. But the invisible hand element of the Don Callis character is still a very effective one. That brawl on the ramp was so gloomy because, like, Orange Cassidy already doesn't have the life to fight. He's just had to go out there and explain that his best friend might never wrestle again because of his ex-best friend. So he's already, like, just kind of devastated. And now he's got to go on the ramp and brawl with Trent Barretta. It's, like, if you're Orange Cassidy, and I kind of begged and pleaded for this last week about this, I need character development because this man went on, like, the run of a lifetime as international champion. It didn't move him up the card in the way it should have done. Mm. This could be the development he needs. You know that bit in the film where, so you have, can't think of the word, but basically everything, so the film starts and everything is the way it should be. Like, order, disorder, order restored.
Yes.
There's another phrase I still can't think of, but ultimately, like, you find the characters in their natural habitat and everything seems grand, and then there's the inciting incident halfway through, and then by the end of the film, like, that is sort of restored again.
Yes.
But, like, now they've, like, learned things and they've grown from where they were at the start. Like, Orange Cassidy is in that middle period in perhaps the most realistic way that he's ever experienced in AEW. This, if Orange Cassidy was to look inwards, this would be the first time he would have to be, how have we reached this point? I've got no belt. I've got no friends because one's retired as a result of the other ex-friend. Mm. Don Callis, meanwhile, as a character, finds the perfect time to strike and potentially get what? His biggest score for the Don Callis family? Now,
after Ospreay,
Yeah, as a wrestling fan, you are set up to assume...
And there's a gap with Powerhouse Hobbs, unfortunately, going away.
Yeah. Like, as a wrestling fan, you are set up to assume that the setup is coming and it's all a sort of a ruse to, like, welcome Trent in. And I think it ultimately will. Trent will join the Don Callis family. But I would like to see this week Don Callis play that kind of, you know, I didn't love it. It was very theatrical. But remember when Brock and Roman had that match in Saudi Arabia and Paul Heyman slid the chair in and turned his back and went, "You know what to do, sir."
Yes.
And, like, he wasn't exactly revealing who he was with because he was under pressure. I'd quite like to see Don Callis either ringside or commentary, and the commentators be like, "What the hell are you doing here? We saw last week you with Orange Cassidy. How dare you?" It's like, he's a sacred figure in AEW. Get off him. Get away from him. He's like, maybe he just was lost. Maybe he was looking for friendship, and I will happily be that. And then he's there at ringside, and Cassidy gets the win in a hard-fought match. And in some way, maybe they fashion a finish where it looks like Callis being ringside might have had something to do with Orange Cassidy getting the win.
Mm.
So Trent, late, like after this fact, gives it the sort of, to tank Lex Luger, you sold out to Don Callis.
Mm.
Like, I was at least straight up when I beat up Trent. I injured him in a car park fight. I kicked you right in the face when you reached out for the cuddle. I didn't do it to your back, I did it to your front.
Mm.
And you, like, do business with him to beat me. Let's have a rematch and, like, do it the fair way. And Cass is like, because he does. Yeah, okay, rematch it is. And then maybe that's double or nothing, and that's where Callis reveals his true colours.
Or maybe there's a bit where, because I'm trying to factor in Chris Statlander and all this, because...
She's turning too.
Yeah. So where she's been attacked backstage, and she says, oh, it must be the same person who attacked Mercedes.
Yeah. And wasn't there another attack? Haven't they done the fake attack with Chris Statlander?
Oh, maybe.
Because she couldn't come out and save Willow Nightingale or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Aye. That's all coming as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like... We'd quite like to see or heel Orange. No.
She just can't be asked to go to Canada. Is that what this is?
I don't know.
Two Dynamites in a row.
We know at least when she's finally wrestling.
Yeah, true, I guess. But...
Yeah, conspicuous by her absence.
Maybe they'll drop the graphic later on.
Or they'll do something collision.
Aye, yeah, but that's probably in Canada as well, though.
Yeah, good point.
Can't be asked. No Osprey as well. Is that a thing? I don't know. Maybe I don't want to suggest a barrier. Is it more just
It works with Orange Cassidy as well, because I like that being the final straw of, like, I've let a lot of things go with this Don Callis family, but you know what? Orange Cassidy, actually, I've decided.
Hey, you all right?
And I'm not going to stand for Osprey. Although, actually, that doesn't work, because that would get him into a match for Double or Nothing, which he's already doing.
Osprey and Orange Cassidy together at the end of all of this is going to be fun as well.
Yeah.
Them as a team when we... I'm into that.
Right, let's talk Big Bill.
Ah!
Teams with the learning tree. I really quite enjoyed that FTW Championship match.
I know. I was the outlier, I think, on that one. I can't be arsed
with him. I will say this, the moment I saw this graphic, I was like, oh no, I've gone back to not being a huge fan of this. because...
See Big Bill's socials post? Yeah. Right. How nice was that from a guy that's been through the ringer and come out the other side? Like, and then you remember, oh, he's supposed to be doing this as like a learning tree gimmick. He just came across like a genuinely inspirational guy. It was like, get up early, treat your body well, treat your mind well. You can do whatever you want in life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm living proof. You're like, thanks, Big Bill. I needed that. And then it's like, and this is all thanks to Learning Tree. Oh, yeah, it's this. It's this bollocks. Like, love Big Bill. Hate this. They'll win a tag match, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, so, like.
I love that. Tag with the Learning Tree to really learn something. Former tag team champion, Big Bill.
Like, I've seen the.
Starks coming back, maybe?
Possibly. Like. He's not injured, is he? He's been loudly proclaiming that he's not injured. So that could be a way.
I think he was backstage at last week's Dynamite getting checked over just in case by medical.
Could it be a way in for him to say, why are you teaming with him when it was fun teaming with me? Like, and Jericho being like, ah, Ricky, a former member of the Learning Tree. Glad to see you prospered. I said, like, are people making, like, Chris Jericho has like done a little bit of, like he's used a bit of CM Punk verbiage, hasn't he? Like insidery sort of stuff, like to mock, like Punk considered himself a bit of a locker room leader.
Yes,
like
yeah.
How maybe he projected elements of himself in the AEW locker room, and it's a more of like a slightly more elegant version of like knocking somebody you didn't like. Like, but what bit of tacitly mocking Punk involves having a tag partner who was doing well before you came along? Am I missing a really, like, did Punk team with somebody in AEW at any point that was like having a good run and then was like, come along with me, kidder. And then it went to because
as far as I remember.
I don't remember that, no. And like Jericho tends to be quite on the nose with his parodies.
A team with...
Team with FTR.
FTR, team with Sting, obviously.
Team with Sting and Darby. Like, team with John Moxley once. And when he was like, he had no friends in the locker room, John Moxley helped him out. Like, so I don't know if this is the end of the Punk parody element of this bit, this learning tree, this locker room leader type thing. I know I hate it. I know I don't want to watch it. I know it's not like it. It's I don't want to stick my neck out now. It's Jericho. He's a snake, and like a lot of snakes, he can be charmed. But I think if last week wasn't the week that was going to draw me into this character, nothing will, because it certainly seemed to capture the capture the imagination of a lot of people. We were in the studio last week, and the line couldn't have been thicker between the two sides of the studio. You were like, we kind of love this. And I was like, I couldn't felt any more distance from it. I don't know. A squash tag win, an inaction tag match doesn't feel like what's going to get me to the next level with the learning tree. But we'll see. Maybe they'll have matching trunks. Maybe they'll get Big Bill out the jeans and back in tights because Jericho thinks he wants to make him a purist again. And Big Bill will have his Big Bill trunks and there'll be a Big Chris trunk. I don't know. What am I even pitching? I don't f***ing care. Is it Friday yet?
I'm Chris Jericho, and this right here is Big Bill, and he's 7 foot tall, and I've taught him that.
Brilliant.
Bada boom, learning tree in the room.
How are you doing? Poorly.
I just checked my notes here, sorry.
If I had a wrestler for every wrestler I've gotten over in AEW, I'd have zero wrestlers. Yeah, sorry, I stepped on your dick there. Just the one women's match.
Just the one women's match. Mariah May versus Harley Cameron. Who's going to win this one?
What is this booking? friggin' Saraya and Harley Cameron. That's not a knife, it's a spoon. 3 months later. Tonight, in action against Mariah. What the f***? I put over this women's division every week, and there's a segment elsewhere on this show. The one women's match thing, the ladies' night thing, is the first time I've earnestly felt like it might be becoming in bad faith because we are seeing multiple angles and stories featured, even if there's only one match.
Serena Deeb's going to speak, is what you're alluding to there.
To build a kick-ass match for Toni Storm, which should overlap with this because obviously Mariah May is back in action. Good luck, Mariah May. Do you know what? I like Harley Cameron. I think there is value to any performer that can offer something, even if it's not necessarily in-ring. Harley Cameron in the background could have been improving tenfold from when, we've last seen her trying to do physical stuff. But as a character performer, I think she's quite engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Strange thing, I've seen her sing live in person.
Of course.
Not to be all la-dee-da, anyone could go, but a Dynamite after party in the MGM Grand.
Sounds awesome.
It was open to the public, and a bunch of the wrestlers showed up to support their friend. She was really good. And, she's funny, earnestly funny in an environment that doesn't always foster the best comedy in pro wrestling.
Was she as good as this?
Don't you dare look back. Keep your eyes
on me. Wait, is that a guy?
I said you're holding back. She says, shut up and dance with me.
He gets everywhere, doesn't he?
He is.
It's like his lobster arm. He's like the clap. He gets everywhere. I like Harley Cameron, but, what is this match other than a Mariah May squash win? Now, or is it? Because they were very delicate last week in the way they told the story of Toni Storm seemingly looking out for a protege, her understudy, but also kind of keeping her foot on her throat in terms of the rankings by yet again being responsible for a defeat. Could Serena Deeb earlier in the show be like, you saw what the professor did to your protege, and it's going to be even worse for you, Toni Storm, at Double or Nothing?
You think they're going to keep the two women's segment separate?
Good point. Could literally minutes before this match, Serena Deeb speak down the lens about the thing she's going to do to Toni Storm? She's going to use illustrations of how she's sort of injured other wrestlers. She's going to show her a submission. It's this is not a film, Toni. This is real life. And in that ring, I do real life dangerous things to people. And I'm going to do this, whatever, that kind of thing. And you see Toni Storm enter with Mariah May. And she's kind of looking a little bit wobbled by what she's seen just on the screen beforehand. Mariah May goes, it looks like it's mostly in hand with Harley Cameron, and then Toni Storm, already quite rattled, is parading the ringside, and who does she bump into? Saraya, Outcast flashbacks, Law, LTC, right? And Saraya's like, what the hell happened to you? I remember the back end of the Outcast, and it wasn't as crazy as this. Is Serena Deeb just sent you absolutely mental or something? And you're seeing Toni Storm, he's very good at playing the unraveling, chaotic, sort of person. She's probably been in commentary a bit saying, I bet you she said some sexual swear words. And then she goes down to the ring, we're all going to have a big old laugh. Like, the woman's had boobs, right? She made a joke about anal on Dynamite. Cover the kids ears. Tony Storm's out here. No way. She's going to like Sesame Street.
She might be shot in black and white, but she turns that air blue.
That's two Sesame Street puppets where, like, insert Tony Storm funny rude word. Ugh. 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 And then she throws a towel in and Mariah May leaves. She's like, I had this in hand. And Harley Cameron shockingly picks up her first win. And Mariah May is starting to think, right, last week I kind of appreciated it because I was in real trouble out there. But you're taking the piss, Tony.
Yeah, I like that.
And Tony Storm cuts a promo on Collision where she was like, darling, I would never take the piss unless it was to drink, because let me tell you, I enjoy a sharp cocktail in once a week. And then everybody goes, she drinks piss!
We're not doing ladies' night. Obviously, there's not three of us here.
Yeah.
This is going to go just for the main event, isn't it?
You've seen this card. Like, is there a main event? If Cope and Brody goes on first.
Omega's announcement. Keep people.
Actually, yeah. No, I called it for last week. Omega going on last is the move.
Yeah.
It's the most interesting thing. And I'm assuming this week. There is something that's not on the advertised card, but something I think's worthy of talking about. Does Tony Khan via Skype wrestle back control of Dynamite this week? Or are we still in, like, Elite rules? Like, do we get the credits again? Do we get the Young Bucks cutting in? I don't think that device is well worn yet. I could have another week of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the sound of technical problems on this podcast because my stupid computer decided to restart as we were recording. Ugh. For a split second, we thought we'd lost the entire Dynamite preview.
And like at this point, people have heard that. So imagine what would have just been left on the cutting room floor. Like,
the
Tom McGee, Bret Hart of podcasts.
Some people say they talked about Calippo reviews.
Gone. G-O-N-N-E. But, phew, saved.
So, you were saying...
Yeah.
Tony Khan tries to wrestle back power.
But not this week.
No.
No. It wasn't a big point there. I just wanted to say that, like, I quite enjoyed that bit, and I have no problem with the Young Bucks extending it. Believing, of course, that, like, Kenny Omega he might be back to announce something, but they probably think he's going to announce his proper retirement before he announces Anarchy in the Arena. So they're messing up things. I like the Renee stuff as well.
Are they going to put like the bits of Kenny Omega like getting pinned in the opening credits?
Yeah.
It's going to be Butter Baby, I'm on a roll.
Great. Love that. Like the attack from last week, them pile driving Tony Khan, other times Kenny Omega's lost big matches, like when he's selling when he's in his compression vest from last year.
When he almost ripped his cock off on the cage.
That's such a great shout. Like Kenny Omega in just embarrassing situations. Yes, include that in the credits.
I love that. It's our best mate looking like a complete twat.
Yeah. Probably best you retire, loser.
Yeah, all the people they hate. Christian Cage ripping out Swerve's hair.
Yeah.
Or Killswitch doing it for him, Christian Cage holding it up.
Who was that I was thinking could be a... Oh! Do you know what I think could be a really cool member of this? And you know how this is kind of... We can agree consensus that this is maybe potentially saved... A Jack Perry situation, and I don't mean when he was suspended, I mean like beforehand, that heel character kind of going nowhere.
Yes.
This has turned everything around for him. I wonder if the, like, AEW are continuing to feed out the news that Sammy Guevara is suspended and he's the next guy to join this, like, just a dislikable twat.
We literally had that story in the news this morning, yeah about Sammy.
I was writing up for the website, I would plug it, but who cares, Sammy Guevara suspended, there you go, I just saved you a click. But like...
even Meltzer, who normally rambles on, just went, still suspended.
Yeah, gone. Like, and it's like been 2 months or something. Like,
ages. Yeah. February, I think it was, the incident.
A long amount of time. Serious situation, quite controversial, the concussion protocol and all that. And who knows, there's been prior behavioural issues backstage.
Described it as, yeah, like in football, where you get booked for a challenge, which probably isn't a yellow, but cumulatively you've racked it up in the game.
Maybe there's something to this longer term. Maybe it's somebody else that the Young Bucks are going to, like, bring back in from the cold. As they've done with Jack Perry.
I like that.
Something like gives another fresh start to somebody that looks completely finished.
Offer an olive branch, or in this case, bamboo. Didn't he used to have a panda?
Very good. Oh, you know, This is why they pay you the medium bucks. That is good stuff. Remember Panda Hack? Let's bring that back. As part of the elite, we're bringing back the real Sammy Guevara.
Jungle Boy and the Panda.
Tick, tick, tick. I'm not going to make more work for you because I think we swore a bit in this one.
Yeah.
We swore a lot when the laptop resets. Oh.
Moving on to our final match, mm-hmm. which looks like it kicks ass, by the way. A preemptive.
Oh, my God.
Because we're getting Adam Copeland versus Brody King for the TNT Championship. Kyle O'Reilly very subtly indicated he's got one eye, if not both eyes, if not his entire face, shoved up against the TNT Championship. Hey, up here. Last week. But he said he'd be in Adam Copeland's corner. Do you think that factors in here? Especially after last week, Buddy Matthews channeled his inner Sean Spears and said, go on, twat me in the head with a chair. And also...
Yeah.
So the House of Black challenging Adam Copeland for the TNT title again. Last week they were like, ooh, we've all got wins, or you've got some wins over you. Who's it going to be?
Yeah.
Buddy Matthews failed, so they're just doing the Cope Open again. Couldn't they just keep doing this until they win the title?
They could. I can't imagine what the result of this is going to be in the direction of where this is going. I mean, it's because I don't want to. And I already know. Mm-hmm. The massive plot hole, realistically, in that. Like, I like the open challenge thing, but they're like, obviously, when somebody loses, the implication is you can't just get back in the queue. It's not like your favorite roller coaster at a quiet day at a theme park. But you're right, technically. And the only reason Kyle O'Reilly isn't fighting for the title here in kayfabe is because he wanted to wrestle in his hometown for it. Is that correct?
I think so.
So that's going to be... wherever that is, a different part of Canada, somewhere at the Fickle. Don't check it. I don't care. But they're going to have the match when Kyle O'Reilly's theoretically got a hometown advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, after Copeland beats Brody King tonight, the House of Black get involved in stopping Kyle O'Reilly winning, and Cope and Kyle work together in a tag setting as a final stop on the road to Cope versus Malachi Black at Double or Nothing.
You would assume that's where we're heading.
Just because all of that is predictable, we say this, predictable isn't always bad.
No.
I'm very much looking forward to this match. Cope has been in the mood since starting in AEW. It's really refreshing to watch the kind of matches he's having. Still too much grit for a babyface. Like, I would say his wrestling's knobbly bobbly, but knobbly bobbly's wacky and likes to have a good time and likes to have a bit of fun, and sometimes Cope gets a bit too serious, my liking, but... He's been adding stuff to his arsenal and then sometimes suffering the consequences. Like, he hurt his shoulder last week.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was, like, fighting through the pain. He was able to beat Buddy Matthews within an inch of his life and was then prepared to concerto him before Malachi Black uncorrupted him. I don't know. But
he saved him. He was like...
But he's been misted, so we know that the darkness lies within...
Gonna bring out a big chair.
He's gonna bring out a massive chair for Brody King. We're gonna see for the first time tonight a close zoom in on Cope's pocket. What's in there? It's the flight confirmation to Dead Police. sometime coincidentally over Double Nothing weekend, but the match should be a ripper. Genuynely very excited for this. I'll have this open dynamite, kick everybody's ass, like get that, like just get that fan engagement up on the off chance that it's down like last week's dynamite. Again, doing the main event stuff with the elite. I just think like this is perfect TNT title stuff. Perfect, if not for that fair point you make about it feeling a bit obvious, naturally, a bit clear where all this is headed. But I kind of where just the chemistry seems nailed on. Cope, because he's tall, is like a low-key big guy. So Brody King's got to like use his girth. Right, he's not going to look like a giant next to Cope, but he has got that like monster size that he can use against him. So I expect lots of those like violent cannonball-based weapons where Brody uses his own body. I want to see Edge flattened up against barricades again because it looked goated the last time. Was that in the trios match, maybe?
Yeah.
The opener at the pay-per-view. So they had such flashes, and I thought, I could do with 10 minutes of this on TV. Yes, please.
I could also see a scenario where it looks like maybe post-match he's snapped again, and he's going to hit...
he's snapped again.
He's going to hit Brody King with a chair. Lights go down, you're like, typical, Brody's going to have disappeared. Lights come back up. Brody King's still there, but there's now a chair under his head as well. So it's like, give him a concerto. Go on.
Nice.
Give into it.
Give into it. Fall at the knees of the Dark Father. Wait a second.
Go on.
Cope's going to lose to Malachi Black, I think.
Yes.
And anyway, after that match, like, Malachi Black can say, like, everybody ultimately succumbs the power of the Dark Father. And then on Dynamite, it's revealed that he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about Christian Cage.
Oh.
And that is how Cope and Christian find their way back together. C&C?
Music know. Factory. And they're going to make you sweat.
Exactly.
It's been a bit of a weird one with that since with the preview Dynamite, isn't it?
Oh, God, we're going to get complaints. If nothing else, I think this will definitely like have people sending Sidge get well soon messages, but it'll be with please at the end. Yeah.
Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of AW Dynamite.
Before we get out of here, like again, let's hit the catchphrase. The kids have been saying it for years now. Remember, the 10th of May.
And the day before, because the day before.
Yeah. Is this all one catchphrase? It's going to be a bugger foot and a t-shirt. The 9th of May, we are putting the live podcast portion of the live show on the What Culture Wrestling podcast YouTube channel ahead of Friday's, remember, the 10th of May, when the entire live show will be going up on the main What Culture Wrestling channel. And in the meantime, if you follow all of us on X, or indeed follow through the main work account, you will see previews of our entrances that I believe Phil has nicely chopped up for us to share with their listeners. It really couldn't be clearer.
You can follow us on X at What Culture WWE. You can follow Michael Hanfler at...
Michael Hanfler.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at M Sidgwick. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The NXT review coming your way a little bit later on today. And we'll be back tomorrow, hopefully all three of us, to review AEW Dynamite. But for now, it's been the Dynamite preview. My thanks to Michael Hanfler. Thank you for joining us. Technology. We'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.